What's up, guys?
What's up, friends?
Nada mucho. How y'all doing?
What a beautiful day in Southern California.
Oh, gorgeous.
It is. It's gorgeous.
The bougainvillea is popping everywhere.
The what is the, what?
The bougainvillea, that beautiful bright pink flower you see everywhere.
The bougainvillea.
Yeah. You never heard that term before?
Nope.
Am I saying it right, guys? Bougainvillea?
I think so. That's how I've always said it.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's everywhere. It's very LA.
Pretty flowers. Desert flowers are the best, which I did not know until I came out here.
The cactus is the best desert flower. Let's keep it 100. That is a beautiful desert flower.
To eat in a taco, yes.
We laid down the Casey song yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We did it.
Oh, man. It's amazing.
You've heard
we took
the
it to the
product?
Next level. No, the finished product from yesterday's session, I have not heard yet. I'll get to you as soon as I receive it. But Donald was doing harmonies, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be a true work of art.
ZB threw in a couple of
Yeah, I don't know if she's going to keep – our friend Jessica Weiss, who's a blowing up composer, she composed the new Cinderella movie with Camila Cabello that's coming out. And
I love it when you call me señorita.
Yeah, that's her.
That's my Camila Cabello.
Mm-hmm. And she's so talented, Jessica Weiss. And so I was like, she's so busy, but I was like, you know, we got other fancy people. So I asked her to help. I had sort of come up with the melody and the words. I was the songwriter, if you will.
Okay, sure.
And then I brought it to the producer who turned it into something of a bop.
And then what am I in this situation? Just the artist?
You're the artist. You're like, you know, you're the pop artist who came in with their talents, their voice, their personality, their charm, and brought it to life.
Right.
I think most people in the world, in the real world, assume that these pop artists wrote the song they sing.
Speaking of pop artists.
Yeah.
Are you listening to K-pop at all?
I don't listen to any K-pop. Please don't come
after me. What's the name of that band that's the hottest K-pop band
BTS.
In the world?
BTS.
Oh, my God. Them boys be getting me every time. Every time. So I'll be like, I'm not going to like it this time. This time, I'm not going to like it. And then it comes on, and by the end of it, I'm like, smooth like butter.
The song is so good.
It is?
Yes, it's
catchy. I don't think I've ever heard a BTS song.
Oh, like Dynamite. That one's my favorite.
That's mine too.
Oh,
right?
I've heard that one.
That's mine too, man. That mm-hmm. Dynamite song. That one gets me every time.
A robot algorithm figured out exactly what you want to hear.
Is this theory is this conspiracy theory or is this?
No,
actual?
I'm just saying, like, you know, there's a formula, not that it always works, but there is like a computer formula to writing a hooky pop song. Right, Daniel? Okay.
Sure. I mean, there's definitely, you know, there's standards and tried and true practices that make a pop hit, but the talent of that group is definitely unrivaled at the moment. They're all really super talented.
Okay.
It's a super group.
Like Dynamite.
Well, Donald was laying down the tracks yesterday, and I really felt like Puffy. I was in the back of her studio on the couch. I had my hands like this, like thinking and rubbing my chin. And when he was a little bit pitchy, I would turn to her and give her the look like, I need auto-tune on that one.
And then you were like, all right, let me get on the track.
Then I want, yeah, and just like a normal producer, I was like, how can I be on the track? Should I say, should I say another
that's
one?
Very, that's very Puffy of you.
That's right.
Very Diddy.
I got to make sure she at least puts in one of my,
I want her to put in a, that's right.
That's right. It's really good, though. And Casey, it's about Casey. So Casey was just bopping her head there. She was feeling it.
It would have been real. We forgot one. We should have did another one. Another one.
Another one. Yeah. Anyway, so I'm excited to share that track with you. I have to tell you the funniest thing that happened to me.
Let's hear it.
I told Donald, but Donald, you have to hear it again.
Oh, boy.
Donald's making a face. What happened?
I'm not making a face. It's just, you know,
these I met Lee.
Shit
I was
like,
a restaurant.
Hold on. Let me finish before you go into it. Shit like this doesn't happen to me. I meet these people and they're like, hey, how's it going, man? What you got coming next? This is what happened with Zach.
Well, I was at a restaurant and the maitre d' of the restaurant introduced me to Lee Daniels.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So for those of you who don't know, very, very successful filmmaker who, you know, started, I think, with Precious, right? And then he made, what did he do? The Billie Holiday movie, The Butler, The Paperboy, Empire.
Lee Daniels is a force of nature, dude, in Hollywood. He found a way to make the movies he wants to make and how he wants to make it, man. And it's, you know, he's also a very funny human being when you hang out.
Oh, yeah. He created Empire. Wow. And anyway, he's very, very, very big deal in Hollywood and a super talented guy. And I had met him briefly just probably at a cocktail party once before. So I shook his, you know, I was sitting at a table and the maitre d' said, oh, Zach, have you met Lee Daniels? And I turned around and we both kind of smiled at each other. I shook his hand and said, oh, yeah, we briefly before. Nice to see you. Nice to see you. You know, standard restaurant small talk. Mm-hmm. And Lee Daniels says, oh, hey, have you ever met Debbie Allen?
Oh, right? No. Oh, God. Oh, wow.
So I turn further around to see that he's seated with Debbie Allen. And now I stand up because I'm like, I have to stand up for you out of respect because you're a living legend. And she laughed. She was like, oh, you're so sweet. You're so sweet. I was like, I'm such a fan. I was like, I quote you. And she goes, no, you do not. And I go, oh, yes, I do. And they're all staring at me at the table. Now, mind you, I'm standing now beside the table, and they're all seated. And I can't help myself. And I go, you want fame? They all start laughing, right? But I'm not letting their laughter throw me. And she's like cracking up, and she's like, oh, no, you are not about to do this. And I'm like, you want fame? Well, fame costs. And I wasn't phoning it in. I was given it.
Yes!
And then I go, I told Donald that there was like remember in the scene in Fame, she's holding a stick. I was looking for a stick to hold. It's like her staff in the dance room. And I'm like, you want fame? Well, fame costs. And right here is where you start paying. Long pause. In sweat. Yes! Love it. Love it. Now, their table is cracking up. It's gone well. And now I think for the cherry on top, I turn to Lee Daniels and I go, that was my audition for all your future projects.
I can't believe you had the balls to do that. That's so incredible.
I was feeling myself. I was feeling myself. And I'm so glad that I didn't fuck up the monologue because I had it ready to go.
I love it.
Well done. Very well done.
You know, normally I get really nervous around meeting celebrities and sometimes say something cringy. I mean, kind of like Donald dry humping Ryan Reynolds at that party.
I did that.
But this time I really, I think I nailed it. I think I stuck the landing.
You crushed it.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
For sure. Should we get into the show Scrubs?
Let's get into the show Scrubs a day or soon.
5, 6, 7, 8. Stories about a show we made. About a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said, here's the stories that we all should know. So gather round to hear our Scrubs Rewatch Show with Zach and Dono. Mm-hmm.
Very funny episode. So
very
silly.
Very funny. My New God.
Yes. Directed by Victor Nelly.
This was the episode I was talking about when I said, I thought that was the episode where we were in a church. The end of the episode, we're in a church, and Victor Nelly was playing May God Bless You in the whole... I had never heard the song before.
It's called In the Sun by Joseph Arthur. May God's love be with you. Yeah. Beautiful song.
Yes.
Beautiful, beautiful
I picture
song.
You on the sun.
In the sun, go ahead.
Drinking, whatever it is. Great song.
Da, 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 dee, da. May God's love be with you always.
Great song.
Great
anyway,
song.
So this is the episode that I thought Victor Nelly this was his first episode, but it turns out it's his second episode.
Yes. You know, it's Victor Nelly because he's always trying to do some wacky trick shots that aren't necessarily in the lexicon of the show. He did that weird sort of GoPro overhead shot when I'm doing my nap walk.
That was very weird.
Yeah.
The nap walk.
Yeah, I don't understand the nap walk. I mean, I have no memory of doing this whole nap walk joke, but it was funny.
Well, I mean, I laughed pretty hard at the fact that but you did the whole obstacle course and then the hand comes out of nowhere. That's new. And then it turns around and it's the janitor.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Help me move."
Yeah. The janitor is, we learned that the janitor is a burglar, I guess.
No, he just tricked you into becoming a burglar.
Oh, so you don't think that he's a regular burglar, he just wanted to fuck me over?
Yes.
God, this guy really hates me. It's like it's not confined to the hospital anymore. He wants to get me arrested.
Yeah, he tries to get you arrested. Yes.
You know, it used to be confined to the hospital. He hated me and I was his nemesis at work. But now he's bringing me to other people's homes to rob them in anticipation of me getting arrested.
Yes. That is the most maniacal. That is ridiculously evil. Like, think about that, man. I'd hate this person so much. I'm going to trick them and I'm going to get them arrested and thrown in jail. This is a felony. This isn't a misdemeanor. Yeah. This is a felony. You walk out of there with a freaking statue.
A gold Buddha.
Yeah. That is a felony. That thing is worth more than $10,000. I'm sure of it. Yeah. I'm sure of it.
Well, it wasn't just the Buddha. He had me load up their precious vases. This poor Asian couple comes home and I'm robbing them and he's nowhere to be found. We've been drinking their Chinese beer at the table.
And his whole explanation on why he was doing it, why he needed to move all of this stuff was because he went to China when he was younger. He lived in China for a little bit.
He was just explaining why he had so many Chinese vases in his house.
Right, but his explanation was like, I traveled to China and I wanted to live there so bad, but I couldn't, so I just brought a piece of it back with me. Yeah. Something like that. And they're robbing an Asian family.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard at that.
And then I steal the Buddha, and I'm being chased by police dogs down the street. I don't remember this. I'm being chased by German shepherds who clearly didn't bite me like the Rottweiler I recently worked with. I laughed a few times when I'm not invited to the baptism, and I'm like, oh, it's family. It's family only, everyone. That's how they're doing it. How they're doing it.
I didn't understand. I laughed at that too, but I was like, "Who the fuck is JD talking to?"
Well, he's just got nervous energy, and he's so worked up that he's not invited to the baptism. That he's just kind of nervous. He's like, "Oh, it's only family, everyone. No, only family at this one."
But you know what I loved?
And then Carla's like, "I was invited."
I love that the background reacted to your loudness, though. Did you notice that?
Yeah, somebody directed them correctly.
Yeah.
Now, how about when I go? When Cox is fucking with me, he goes, "I want you to be the godfather." And I go, I am honored. And then he goes, "I am joking."
He goes, "I am lying."
and then I like swipe my tear away because I was so moved.
Yeah.
Gosh, man, JD is obsessed with Dr. Cox.
He wants him to love him like
so badly. He wants his love and approval.
The crazy thing is he's already gotten it. He just wants more now. Now it's like he's already gotten the pat on the back. He's already gotten all of those things. He knows that Dr. Cox respects him at this point. Now he just wants Dr. Cox to respect him and say he respects him every moment he can get it out of him.
Yeah, like, well, he's needy. He wants some affirmation. He wants I don't know, a big brother, a father figure, all those things. But
Cox has given him all of that already.
Nah, only in short little, like, 1 minute sound bites. JD's like a junkie. He needs more.
Yeah.
He's a junkie for affirmation.
He keeps coming back for more. There it is.
So we learn that Elliot names her eggs. yes. that are in her uterus.
Yes.
And she said she rubs her stomach and said, Haley doesn't have a chance this month. And then she says, I name my eggs Big Frick.
Right.
Yeah. Oh my God. Sarah's fucking out of her mind in this episode.
Yeah. Isn't there a line where it's like, oh man, Haley would have been a fast runner or something like that? She's like, yeah, she would have.
She would have
been. She would have been.
Yeah.
Isn't there a moment? What is it? But what is it?
I didn't write it down, but she says something about like yes, she would have been.
So hey, okay, Jack grew fast. Hold on. Time out. This is the classic sitcom thing.
Yeah, the kid
where the
got
baby
older.
Grows faster than this freaking show.
Yeah. Well, you run out of ideas of things to do with the baby. So then it's like, all right, how about toddler jokes? The kid's a toddler now.
Next thing you know, the kid's 16 and the show's been on for 5 seasons.
That was growing pains. Remember, the kid like jumped a lot of years. That was the most egregious example of that. They were like, we got nothing left for a baby. What if the kid's 4 now?
Same thing with Family Ties.
Oh, really?
Dude, the little kid in Family Ties, they jumped big time in Family Ties. You don't remember that?
I don't remember that one.
Okay.
But how old do you baptize a child?
Oh, that I don't know.
Very young.
Anywhere between, like, baby and 2, depending on the family and how quickly they get to the church, how active they are in the church.
Yeah. All right, well, all I know is that this child, Donald's right, he aged fast. Maybe he's got the Benjamin Buttons thing.
Okay. That's aging backwards, so.
He's reverse Benjamin Button. He ages too quickly up.
He's got reverse Benjamin Button. Cheryl Hines is our guest star. She's very funny.
Very funny.
And
this was when she was on a Curb at this point, wasn't she?
Yep. And then she walks in and JD says, I'm sure you've heard about me. And she says, I haven't. And then I do the same kind of thing to they don't talk much, everybody. There's not a lot of talking in the family. Wait, fucking nut job.
JD talking to?
Yeah, he's just so worked up, bro. How about
I
you going
at,
through
I
the lobby
at,
going, hallelujah, a brother's about to have some sex. That shit was hilarious.
I laughed at his wife throws... His wife's throwing her legs up in the air because they want to have a boy like Jesus.
Yeah.
And Zach slapped your ass and was like, he likes it like that.
Yeah. You go, oh my God, you go smack the moneymaker. Money and then I'm spanking your ass because you're about to go get laid. And I'm like, this is how he likes it. What a fucking bunch of weirdos we are, dude.
Yeah, dude. Oh, yeah. God. They're nuts, man.
I'm so happy that you're about to get laid that I'm giving you sort of what seems like a thing we do, a celebratory spanking.
Yes.
In front of a devout Christian. And then and then when you leave, I go, sorry, this is how he likes it. She keeps her legs up in the air because they're trying to have a boy.
Like Jesus.
Like Jesus.
So here's a question then. What are Christians allowed to say? Like, there's just so many different versions of this out there. It seems like, you know, there's some Christians that curse. There's some that don't curse. There are some, you know what I mean?
It's just how religious you are. I think we're saying that she's a pretty religious woman.
She must be very religious, eh?
Well, yeah. I mean, the plot point is that Cox is an atheist and his very religious sister comes to town and it's their sort of battle, you know?
Yeah,
so I think...
He would have to be an atheist. He called religion witchcraft, pretty much.
Yeah, I think he's pretty...
Those are the exact words.
I think it's pretty clear he because of what he sees in the hospital and the life he's led, and we learn that he had a very, very fucked up childhood with an abusive parent. So I think he's just got no faith or belief in anything at all. And here's his sister who's 180 degrees religious. And, you know, that's sort of one of the themes of the episode is how two siblings, or I guess any two people that need to be close, you know, navigate that.
What's up with Kelso and a gimp? Kelso's son has a gimp?
Well, let's call that a tease, and we'll be right back after this break to talk about Kelso's son and Kelso's son's gimp. We'll be right back. Perfect. Rewatch Show with Zach. We're Lambda, 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 and Omega, Omega Moon. I can't hear that noise now with any ever again without thinking of that song.
Oh, my God. And a rap by little old me, Lamar.
Okay, so Turk finds Carla on the bed, and she's got all the books out. I'm sure lots of men and women who are trying actively to have a baby can relate to this. We have friends that are trying, and now you gotta you spend your whole life trying to not have a baby, and now you're trying to have a baby, and you gotta get the books out, and you gotta get the app. And of course, they didn't have apps when we made this show, but now I know people use an app. But Turk's like, I need foreplay. I can't just go. You can't just tell me to get going.
That's every, come on. Sex is great. Foreplay is, come on. That's the best part.
Okay, the teasing. You like the sort of leading up to things.
Yeah, that's the, come on. Yeah, I don't care if you're trying to make a baby.
Come on.
Or if you're trying not to make a baby. But don't take out the way. Don't take away the foreplay.
Yeah.
Don't take away the foreplay. Yeah. Tyra Banks, just saying Tyra Banks' name ain't enough foreplay for me.
Well, in the show, she says Tyra Banks, and you do the funniest thing. You go, you like make a moan, and your pelvis just goes forward as though you were humping a ghost version of Tyra Banks.
Yeah.
Does Tyra Banks do
Tyra
that for
Banks
you?
Is were beautiful.
You, were you
She's a very beautiful
in,
woman.
Were you confided in for the writing of this? And did they say, Donald, who would do it for you? And you answered Tyra Banks?
Tyra Banks is a very beautiful woman. But if I had to choose between foreplay and somebody saying Tyra Banks' name, I will choose foreplay.
Okay, but I'm saying now, and I'm sure Casey will be fine that you answer this. If you did have to have a name said that would get you instantly in the mood, who would it be?
Know.
It could be someone from your childhood, like, you know, young Kathy Ireland. Mm.
Okay.
That's a deep cut, Daniel.
That is a deep cut. Look at that. No,
Kathy Ireland was on my puberty list of things are happening to me.
If we're going back, we'll go back that far.
No, I'm saying you can name whomever you want, but I'm saying if not Tyra Banks, what would be your name that would make you go, and push your pelvis forward.
Oh, my.
I don't want to answer
you
that.
You don't have to answer.
I don't want
to
answer that.
All right. We'll just have to imagine. You, listener, both male and female. You, listeners, both male and female, can answer in your head right now who that would be for you. Joelle has closed her eyes and has turned up to the sky like a JD imagination.
JD. JD. Joelle, is there someone for you?
Joelle, do you want to share
I
who
said
you're
it in my head, and it was beautiful. And there it shall remain.
And that was enough.
Oh, man. Oh, man, Joelle. Okay.
So what's up with this whole pie talk thing?
Okay, so JD apparently takes an improv class that's JD is apparently in an improv class that meets in the back of a pie shop. And so he's used to looking around the space for inspiration for his improvs, and they're all pie-based improvs.
Oh, my God.
It's pretty funny, though, man.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
I try and for the family do a whole improv of watching Cheryl Hines and Johnny C fight, and it's all about pie. And it ends with, "You're a pie racist. You're a cobbler whore." And meanwhile, I'm yelling this in the ICU room of their dying loved one.
Yes.
Get off pie.
Yes. Come on, get off pie. And then later we call it back with the Buddha and Jesus. I'm doing a whole shtick for the priests. Oh, my God. That was really, really in front of the priest. I'm doing my pie improvs. Yes, Don.
Here's where the bullshit comes in, though.
Go ahead.
Turk doesn't want to have sex anymore. That's where the bullshit comes in.
Well, he doesn't like this, and I'm sure a lot of men can relate.
Bullshit.
When it's just, let me finish the thought, and then you can say bullshit. When you're getting into the no, now we're having sex like this just to try and make a baby. Come on, the time is right. I'm ovulating, legs up in the air. I'm going to stay here and hold in the the semen, you know, and if it's like a program like that, I bet a lot of men are like, come on, we've lost the romance. We've lost the sexiness of this. Isn't that a thing?
Bullshit.
Okay. You're the only person here who's actively had children, so I
the
need
best
to
part of make the best. Listen, that is the best part, is making the baby. There is no, I mean, I guess back in the day there wasn't science behind it, or there's just, it looks like it's a bunch of myth, but she's reading books on how to get a boy with her legs up in the air and everything like that. I don't think there's anything that can control what egg
gets there faster. But there are technical things when you're really trying, you do, right? Like the woman doesn't run up afterwards and go pee. She like lies there with her legs up in the air and tries to jiggle her butt so the sperm is like excited to get to the egg.
We've all seen The Big Lebowski.
Yeah, or Election. You remember? Fill me up. Fill me up.
Right, but I'm saying the science doesn't mean that it has to be in missionary all the time now anymore. So I'm saying,
oh really?
Trying to have a baby?
Is that a thing? Joelle, can you Google the best?
You can get pregnant doggy style. You can get pregnant.
No, I know, but I'm saying if you're someone, let's say it's not happening quickly, and you and your partner are really trying, like you're gonna do it by the book. You got the app saying I'm ovulating, honey. This is the right exact time that we have the best shot of trying. I don't think doggy style's probably best, but Joelle will.
How do you know this?
I'm guessing because in the movies, the
all my kids are doggy style babies.
Oh. Wow. You guys thought this podcast wouldn't teach you new information.
I don't know if that's true
or not. I would like to have a t-shirt that says all my kids are doggy style babies, Donald Faison.
I learned.
I don't know if that's true or not. I just said it because it was.
But it's funny. Joelle, can we have that put on a baby onesie? For the merch shop. All my kids are doggy style
babies.
That'll
sell like hotcakes.
That will sell like hotcakes.
Oh, for fuck's sake, stop talking about your willies.
All right,
I agree, ma'am.
All my kids are doggy style babies.
All right, well, Joelle, will you just Google for us? Which
I have a quick answer here for you.
All right,
Cheryl A. Kinsberg, PhD, Chief of the Division of Behavioral Medicine at University Hospitals Case Medical Center, says it's very difficult to research specific sexual positions that might enhance fertility. And essentially, there's not really a lot of specific science on it. But her number one suggestion is missionary. Number two is doggy.
Okay. Well, I just think well, you also have a lot of length and girth. So you might be getting closer to the egg than others.
Oh my goodness. No.
I mean, Joelle, it's just physics. If one he's able to reach in there further with his manhood.
Okay. Science.
If someone has a small penis, the sperm have further to travel. It's fact.
That's why it takes. That's why it's a little bit harder for them to have babies.
Yes, because the sperm gets out of the small penis. It's like, where the fuck do we go? I don't know. Whereas Donald's just hand delivering the sperm to the egg. You know how they have like white glove delivery for furniture? Donald's giving that sperm white glove delivery.
Oh my.
I love that. Okay, so Turk realizes that he's not going to have foreplay before sex, so he realizes that angry sex is a lot of fun.
Yes, so he starts pissing her off.
Have you ever had angry sex?
I'm sure. I don't remember a specific example, but is that your thing? Do you do that?
I disagree with angry sex being awesome.
Well, you're saying horrible things to Carla. I mean, I just don't think that would work. I think she'd be like, fuck you, dick. Go to the other room.
No, because she wants to have a baby. No, she won't. No, she
no.
No,
but
no,
you're
no,
saying,
no, no,
like,
no, no, no.
You're saying, all, you said, you tell her to brush her hair with a rake or some shit like that.
Listen.
You said she needs a rake to brush her hair?
Yeah, but she wants a baby and she's stuck with me. So she has to have sex with me. And so now she's angry and having sex with me.
But in the real world, your wife would turn to you and be like, what the fuck did you just say?
And you'd be like, you want to have a baby, right?
Okay, so then we learn that Elliot does not use the word penis or vagina. She has three options for penis.
Schwing schwang.
Is it schwing schwang or schwing schlong?
I thought it was schwing schwang.
Okay, schwing schwang, peepers, or peep. And then a vagina is bajingo or
bajingo. Bajingo.
And then you mentioned, which is just ridiculous because cervical she's mucus. A doctor. And then you mentioned cervical mucus, and she goes, "From now on, we'll be calling that icky sticky." Oh my
God. Which is what they call marijuana. Some of that sticky icky icky.
Oh my God, I laughed so hard at this. I just love that Elliot is a doctor and she can't talk about genitalia.
She calls a swing a penis a swing schwang.
A swing schwang? And a hoo hoo.
But Django's a good one too.
And so, yeah, but Django's great.
I also laughed at, we kind of jumped over this a little bit, but how the janitor tells the audience he's going to get JD, how JD's going to be robbing somebody by giving him the hat and the gloves.
Yeah.
And before the Asian people come in.
Yeah.
JD's got the hat and the glove and the hat.
And then he leaves.
Yeah. And JD's smiling, like in thought at the table, just thinking.
Oh my God. Now, what about when earlier on, we skipped this too, when we played Koyana Skotsi, the Philip Glass track, when the janitor's staring me down. You remember that?
Yes.
What's that from, Daniel? Do you know?
Koyana Skotsi?
Yeah.
It's a film. Wait, is that what you're asking? Like what the film is?
Well, no, there's a
song.
It's
like an organ and then it's like deep chanting.
Koyana
Skotsi. It's from is it not from the film, Koyana Skotsi?
I'm assuming it is. I didn't know. Did Philip Glass score that film? I never saw the film.
It's a banger of a film.
Who is it? Is it Lucas?
Who's by?
Philip Godfrey Glass Reggio. Did the music.
Yeah,
for
Philip
it.
Glass did the music. Mm-hmm.
I was doing Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Mola rum. Mola rum.
No, this is like Koyana Skotsi.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, organs and.
Yeah. And then the janitor's giving me an evil eye and there's in slow motion and there's a funny moment where he gets blocked and he's like, guys, can you please move out of the way? I'm trying to give him the evil eye. And they like, oh, sure. And then it comes right back. Oh, yeah. We learned that my prison name is Gizmo.
I missed this. How did I miss all of this? There were just a lot of jokes. There are a lot of jokes in this
episode.
Yeah,
a lot of jokes packed in. Not to mention the giant bear shaking Elliot.
That made me laugh harder than anything in the episode.
That's
them
real,
screaming,
too.
Them screaming like that and the bear shaking the car made me
laugh. I want you all to know that is not green screen. They brought a fucking giant grizzly bear to that parking lot, and the bear shook that car with Elliot inside.
Oh, no.
I laughed so hard because that would be me. There's nothing else to do in that situation but scream.
This
You're
is
not
a
getting
phase.
Away.
Bill went into a phase here where there was animal jokes in every episode. You're going to start seeing them come up this season a lot. There's always an animal joke, and this is starting to happen as you see that. I think everyone just was like, well, it was fun to, all we have to do is write an animal joke and then we get cool animals. Like, just put a grizzly bear in a flashback and there'll be a fucking grizzly bear here
grizzly
on Tuesday
on Yeah.
And what about ostriches that wear Donald's Kango? Yeah, let's write that in. When she does that basketball trick shot at the end, that was clearly, you know, clearly someone was off frame catching it and putting it back.
You believe that?
Absolutely. Cheryl Hines isn't throwing a ball behind her head and hitting it. Also, watch, the ball goes out of frame.
It does go out of frame, but I mean.
It was seamless. But
I was about to say, that seems harder to do. Throw the ball off screen, somebody catch it above the rim.
No, you need two people. No, I disagree. You need two people right above the backboard. And one's catching her ball, and one simultaneously is letting their ball go.
Okay.
I think that's the way it was done. There's no way Cheryl Hines.
There's no ladder behind the backboard or anything like that.
Oh, they came off the roof or something. Oh, the crane or a roof. Trust me. There's no
way
Cheryl Hines.
Making a shot from the roof seems a bit harder than.
No, I'm saying they're literally above the backboard, like a foot above, 2 feet above the rim.
You'd be surprised how easy it is to miss. Anyway. Okay, this one thing made me laugh at the end of the show.
What?
What the fuck is JD doing at the ramp watching Cox and his sister make a mint? Like, it pans to JD and he's sitting there at the ramp.
Well, someone's got to sum up the end of the episode of what we all learned. Who the hell is going to sum up the episode with a heartfelt VO?
Yeah, I think this is the first time you were like actually witnessing the the reconciliation between the two siblings. But you're like right there. No one else is in the parking lot at all at the emergency entrance, except for you at the bottom of the ramp staring at them.
Yep.
With a wistful grin.
Listen, there's you need a VO. You need someone there. You need someone there to give a nice heartfelt end of episode VO.
I laughed at that.
All right. So we have a caller, guys. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with the best guest you've ever heard. And we're back.
We are back.
Do or do not. There is no try.
All right.
Wise Ready? Words from Yoda.
Yes, bring in the Jewess.
We got a caller who gave us a holler. We can talk Star Wars or sing show tunes, you know, like a baller. Smoke some jazz cabbage. Maybe talk about the episode. So come on, Joel, let's get the show on the road.
Julius Samantha!
Hey. Julian, welcome to the program. How are you, sir?
Thank you. How are you?
We're very excited you're here. It's a beautiful day in Southern California. Where are you located?
I am in Garden Grove, California.
Where is that? Garden I don't know, Grove. But Daniel does. Where is it?
I'm right by Huntington Beach, Orange County. Oh,
got it.
Right by Knott's Berry Farm, not too far.
Okay.
Yes. I've been to Knott's Berry Farm. They make great biscuits. They got those biscuit packs and the jelly.
Donald,
yum,
you don't ever mention Knott's Berry Farm because you're so loyal to Disneyland. Have you ever been to Knott's
Berry Farm? I have been to Knott's Berry Farm several times, and you can
buy... Do
they have
scary coasters?
Yeah, they have some great roller coasters at Knott's Berry Farm.
Julian, do you go to Knott's Berry Farm?
I've actually never been.
Yeah. What?
Are you not much of a roller coaster guy?
Not really, I guess. My older brother scared the crap out of me when I was younger, so it kind of ruined it for me.
I don't like how did roller he
scare
coasters.
How did he scare the crap for you that made it so that you didn't want to get on a roller coaster again?
Basically, like, I would die.
He told you you were going to die on the roller coaster.
Basically, just freaked me out with any story they could, or it would go off the rails or something, or something just beyond. So I just never went on roller coasters.
So you've never been on a roller coaster?
Guy, especially the giant ones, the like Six Flags kind that are like the Hulk, where you're just like standing up and... I hate that.
So yeah. you've never been on a roller coaster before, is what you're saying?
I have not.
Wow.
I mean, I plan to. I'm older now.
An easy one. Like I go on ones that go fast, but not make me nauseous.
Can you do Space Mountain at Disneyland, Zach?
Yeah, I've done it. It's just I've done it a bunch of times. I don't ever feel better coming out than when I went in. Mm-hmm. Like everyone else that's coming out, going, "Woohoo! Oh my god, that was crazy! Let's go again!" I'm like. Oh, yeah, I'm going to feel nauseous probably for 45 minutes. And why did I do that?
Mm. I have to be quite honest. I know this is going to be sacrilegious for all of you, but I've never been to Disneyland.
Oh, brother.
Okay. Well, it's not sacrilegious. That's
okay. You're just a sad human being, Julian.
No, I'm excited for you.
It's fun.
It's fun,
Julian. Well, the thing is, okay, it doesn't really count, but I went when I was 3, but I don't really remember it at all.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Listen, I will say this.
Go ahead.
There's nothing wrong with never going to Disneyland. There's nothing wrong with never getting on a roller coaster ride.
Go ahead.
There is something wrong with not having fun, Julian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Julian,
what do you do for fun?
Yeah, Julian. What's your favorite thing you're doing?
Well, especially during pandemic, I play. Like guitar, bass, 3D print, just stay indoors, really.
Oh, cool. What do you 3D print? What kind of stuff do you make?
Right now, I'm messing with my printers, actually printing helmets. And I printed a Mandalorian helmet that was my very first print.
Wow.
It's not very good, but it was a good test print.
So what, get it off the web and then you can hit print and your thing will make it? Or you design the helmet yourself?
No, I'm actually planning on taking some courses to design, but it's just like a download this and print it and there it
That's
is kind
a very
of thing.
Friendly community as far as like sharing original designs and mock-ups mm-hmm. goes, right?
What's a good 3D printer, Julian? Like what's a good brand? Because I want to print Donald a Mandalorian helmet.
A good brand. A good starter one is an Ender 3 is the one I'm using right now.
Ender 3. Okay. Endor. That's like a
Endor,
in Star Wars, Donald. Endor.
Yeah, it's the forest moon of the planet Endor.
Yeah, it's the forest moon.
So Endor is actually not the actual planet that they're on. They're on the forest moon of Endor.
So Endor is a planet. Do we ever go to Endor in the show?
No, but we are on the forest moon.
Stop saying forest moon.
But that's how they say it in the movie.
I know. I just think that it's too bad that Endor doesn't get
a lot
of attention.
We'll put a troop. We'll put a garrison. What do they say, Joel? We'll send a crack team to the forest moon of Endor.
Is that Admiral Akbar?
That's Akbar. That was Akbar.
Yeah, good Akbar.
Not bad.
Aren't you impressed that
General Nadine.
I like Akbar. I always thought he was cool.
He is very
It's cool. A trap!
Yeah.
11.
All the time.
All right, sorry, Julian. We're back to you. Do you have a question for us?
We can't handle firepower of that magnitude.
Donald, listen. Julian's going to ask a question.
Go ahead.
Well, first off, I want to say that I'm sorry for my camera. I'm kind of dark here. Not just the camera, me and myself too.
Ain't nothing wrong with being dark, man.
Well, we all upgraded our cameras, except Donald decided to steal the one iHeart gave him and use it for animation. So Donald is still back to his shitty camera. When are you going to rectify that, Donald?
I will rectify it soon.
Yeah, because one day we'll put this on YouTube and you're going to look grainy. And only me and Daniel are going to look high def.
Yeah, but it took Daniel a while to get that camera right. I know. And your camera does some all weird right. shit.
I just think it's funny that iHeart gave us fancy cameras so in case we ever want to put this show on YouTube and you stole it and use it for animation.
It's a great camera.
It is a great camera. You're right. Yeah,
but it's meant for the fucking podcast,
it's
ass-neck.
Like 4K, dude.
Okay.
Julian, he's still using it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Julian. But yeah, first off, I want to say thank you for having me on the podcast. I'm super excited and very nervous.
Don't be nervous. Pretend no one's listening but us.
I am. I'm still very nervous. I listen to you guys every
week. Though people in Stad are listening. Go ahead.
Stad.
Hi, Stad.
We're huge in Stad. Silent G, Donald. Stad starts with a G, right, Daniel?
Oh, my God.
I didn't know that either.
Come on, man.
It's G. Daniel, I thought you were fucking an encyclopedia.
It is G. Oh, wow. It is G-S-T-A-A-D.
A-A-D, yes.
Gstaad. Silent C, Donald.
Gstaad. So it's really pronounced Gstaad.
No. Yes.
No. We just said it's silent, ass neck. Don't you dare call me twat ears. All right, Julian, go ahead.
I'm glad I didn't.
Julian. I don't think you would call me twat ears.
I would call you twat ears.
This guy does.
Okay. So I guess the reason I'm here is a couple of weeks ago, since I listened to you guys on the podcast, obviously, and you had mentioned about how you want to hear a story of, I guess, a couple breaking up and then getting back together and kind of seeing where that's at. So basically, I met my wife when we were 13, and we were friends throughout middle school, high school, whatever it might be. And after high school, we stopped talking for a while, and I found out that she was getting into trouble.
When you saying she was getting into trouble, like she was doing drive-bys and shit like that, or like,
No. I grew up in Huntington Beach. There's no drive-bys really.
So what do you mean drugs? What do you mean?
Drugs mainly. And just getting into that kind of trouble, that kind of lifestyle. And so I kind of got her out of it, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so we started dating for a little while. And I mean, it was the best time that I had. And unfortunately, it was a very short-lived time because she ended up moving to Michigan where her biological father lives. So we dated up until the point that she had to leave, which was an amazing 3 months. Time passed and we had other relationships. And one day in 2016, I accidentally butt dialed her while I was trying to text her, and I hit the call button. I hung up. Oh. I was like, I don't even know what to say to her. I haven't heard her voice in so long. So she ended up calling me back, and we did not stop talking for the next 8 hours. And this was at like 9 o'clock at night.
Wow.
We talked, and I was like, screw this. Like, it's been 6 years, and I'm going to go see her. So I booked a flight.
Wow.
Wait, did you say that to her? Were you like, you know, we've been talking all night. I think the next step is just for me to come and I'm gonna come see you. And she was like, all right.
No, not at all. It was just me, really. I didn't want to seem too pushy, but she was very happy with the idea when I finally told her, maybe about a week or two later. And so I booked a flight. We had a great time, and we started to date again when I went to visit her. And we knew how that ended before, as long as it's not going to work. So again, I said, fuck it. 40 days later, I packed all my shit and moved to Michigan.
Oh, my God. Wow. You were in love, my friend. You were really in love.
Yeah. And so
you went from the beach to Michigan.
Yeah.
For love.
Finds out it's cold.
yeah.
So I went and I rented a van because my car was a piece of crap. And I took my dog and went to Michigan on a whim.
Did she know you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh no, yeah.
That, you didn't show up like in your van, like,
that would be hilarious.
I moved here.
Here I am. No.
I gave up everything. So she wanted you to move there, and you did.
So what happened is that we stayed in Michigan another 6 months, and she's like, I don't want to do another Michigan winter. Let's get out of here. So she's from here, and so it wasn't too hard of a call to make, really. So we moved back. So I moved all my crap and my dog and my girlfriend all at the same time, or 6 months later, back to California.
Wow.
Same van?
No. We bought a car while we were out there. Same van. No.
Okay. Same van.
That would be great, actually.
Gosh, you're doing a lot of things for this woman. I hope that she is appreciative of all the life changes you're making for her.
One thing I didn't tell you, and it sounds crazy, is I bought an engagement ring before I moved.
To California? To Michigan or to
back to California?
I'm sorry. Before I moved to Michigan, I bought an engagement ring, prepared to ask her to marry me at some point.
And you chickened out the whole time you were there, dude, huh? Did you ask her while you were in Michigan?
Mm-hmm, I did. I got the engagement ring, moved to Michigan, and asked her to get married. And then we ended up moving back to California. Okay. All our family's here. Now back to California.
Right.
9 months later, we got married or so, and now we have a beautiful 2-year-old boy.
Awesome. That's wonderful.
And that's my story of I did the craziest thing I've ever done in my life. And going back to saying that she's done anything great for me, I mean, she gave me a beautiful 2-year-old boy.
Oh, well, it has a happy ending. I was worried because sometimes Joelle throws at us a really sad ending. And,
no.
This had a beautiful ending. I thought you were going to be like, and then she fucked my best friend. And I was okay with it, you know, like one of those. Sometimes Joelle throws those at us. So
I wonder how they're doing.
I know, Joelle. I want to check in on them because I really hope that he's had his turn and he can tell us about it.
Oh my God.
Please follow up with them.
Yeah.
But no, that was a very hard story.
I know, but Julian, we love a happy ending and a romantic story. And you gave up your whole life for love and it panned out. That's beautiful.
It's one of those things where I grew up a romantic and I don't really know the phrase, but I watched a lot of those movies where it's like hopelessness romantic and, well, there's garden state.
Well, it doesn't always work out, but in your case, you really stepped out on a limb. You really you made yourself so vulnerable and it worked, you know.
It was the scariest thing I've ever done.
Of course.
Well, until having a child.
Yeah.
How long were you guys dating when you decided to ask her to marry you?
Not long at all.
Yeah, but sounds like it was like 6 months, maybe less than that, eh?
Yeah, but
I've known her since we were 12.
You guys have been together since then too. You got a baby together and everything. Both are living in California again. That's a wonderful thing, man.
It really is.
I don't know how we can fix your life because your life feels like it's pretty darn great. Is there anything you need fixing?
There is a fix my life that does have to do with my son, actually.
Okay. Donald, it's time for Garden Grove, California's favorite segment.
It's time to fix your life.
Excited for that. Okay. So my parents and my brother watch my son while my wife and I are at work. And I've actually come to pick up my son and eventually found out that my brother is teaching my son that dresses are for girls and blue is for boys and all this macho, masculine bullshit that I don't want the toxicity. And my son adores my brother and honestly, I don't really even want him around just because he's this anti-progressive, honestly, very homophobic, and it tears me to bits, just the shreds that that this is happening. And I have nowhere else to go. I have nowhere to, I don't, like, we can't afford daycare. I mean, I live in California.
Have you spoken to your brother and said, hey, you know, we love you and everything, but we don't want you programming our child with these beliefs?
We actually had I wouldn't say discussion. We definitely fought. We went off on each other about it. And it's just one of those things where he thinks he's right and his generation was right and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. And just, I don't know what to do.
You're a bit tangled because you need the help with healthcare and you can't afford healthcare that's not your brother. How old's the child?
He's two.
Okay. Well, he's a little young probably to be processing.
Right. But I've already heard him come home. My son will say things like boys don't cry.
Yeah. And, that's tough, dude. That's some bullshit.
I tell him, like, who told you that? And obviously everyone denies it. But now knowing, saying, like, my son was wore a little blankie and he said, my new dress. And my brother corrected him, like, no, boys don't wear dresses. And then we went off on a tangent about it. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
That's really tricky because if your brother's not respecting your wishes, it's really disrespectful from him. But at the same time, you're a bit stuck because you need the healthcare help. Excuse me, yeah. You need the daycare help. What do you, Joel, yeah. Daniel, Donald, any ideas what to help him?
I wouldn't bring my kid around my brother. That's just how I would. That's just how I would handle it. And I know it's fucked up for my brother, but I don't want my kids having any type of prejudice
he's kind of doing it to himself, like if I take my son away from him.
But that's his, that, you know, it's clear that your brother does love your son,
yeah,
but you know, it's not his place to educate your son on with his beliefs, you know what I mean? It's not his place to do that. So
especially when you very specifically has said, don't do that. And he's still doing it.
Yeah. That's going to be a no. In the words of Randy Jackson, that's going to be a no for me, dog. Like straight up, like you gotta, I would not bring my child around that person.
Daniel, Joel, any thoughts?
I think personally, you know, you might have to make some sort of, like, quote unquote financial sacrifice in this department to make your point to your brother, because right now it's only words until you take action. And the action needs to be, you will not see my child again if you keep talking this way. I will remove my child from your life. I will remove you from my life if you cannot respect this very basic wish to, you know, simply be accepting of other people and be progressive in the most basic way. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, and this might mean that until your brother comes around, you might have to pay for daycare in some fashion. And I know that's tough. Yeah. And I know it's going to be like, you know, I don't know if it's an extra shift or I don't know if it's, you know, selling some 3D printed Mandalorian helmets or whatever it is, but like
I'll
something.
Buy one.
Yeah. Maybe, hey, you know what you could do? Do you stream on Twitch? You ever heard of Twitch? Maybe you should stream some.
Oh shit! We forgot to stream with freaking Daniel the other night. Dude.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry. It's okay. I do it every day. Or
we'll
Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. We'll
make
it.
We'll
work it out.
He's got so pissed off. You can tell he's hurt by that shit, Daniel. I'm so sorry, dude.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. This is scheduling right now.
I want to watch. Am I allowed to comment? And will you see my comment?
Yes, of course. Yes, okay. I read all the comments.
He was supposed to make it rain, dude.
It's okay. Stop. It's okay.
Look, boy.
This is about Julian right now. This is about Julian right now.
Julian, one second.
We have Julian. To rectify this.
Yeah, sorry, Daniel.
It's okay. It's really, truly
we're
okay.
We're going to get on tonight and take you private.
Friday. Oh, boy.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
you not say that while I'm drinking, please?
They're taking me to the twerking lounge.
We're gonna take you private and make it rain.
Long story short.
Are we allowed to say things on your Twitch stream like show us your butt?
Yes, of course. You can say whatever you want. Okay, good. Anyway, Julian, I think, you know, unfortunately there might be a little bit of self-sacrifice here in that if you want to make the point, you have to just do it. It can't be like, well, we need this. It's like, yeah, you need it. You need to get it from somewhere else.
Yeah, and General's right. By the way, if you fire a warning shot and like say, oh, sorry, well, now I have to punish you in so many words, and you know, for a month hire a babysitter, and maybe that will sort of say, oh shit, he wasn't fucking around. Like I'm gonna correct myself, maybe.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
All right. You're welcome. You're welcome, you. Julian. Good
that's
luck.
A tough, Julian, I'm going to be honest with you. That's a tough one because family and beliefs and everything like that, that, you know, these are the things that break families apart.
But most importantly, you sound like a very good father who wants to raise a very open, kind child. And we mm-hmm. applaud you for
liberating
that.
Liberating as hell to get toxicity out of your life.
Yes. Amen.
I agree. And I'm definitely trying.
You know, when you get a lot of toxicity out of your life and get rid of the toxic people in your life, and then one shows up, you're like, whoa, I don't have this in my life anymore. You stand out like a sore thumb, you know?
Right.
That's true.
I'm excited, but I just, it makes me sad, but I'm excited to move on from that.
Yeah. I think that's healthy for you, my friend. All right. We did it. Julian, thank you so much for coming on, and we really appreciate you and congrats on your beautiful love story.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course.
All right. That's
take
Julian,
care, Julian.
Everybody.
Be well.
Thank you, Julian.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Julian Cemental.
Thank you.
Bye, Julian.
Did I say that right? Cemental?
I don't know. Whoever you
Cemental.
Sentimental? What?
I like Julian Sentimental. That's funny.
Yeah. All right. We did it, guys.
Yay.
I think we did.
Another fun Yay. Adventure. That's all we have to say. We have new merch in the merch store. There's some cool t-shirts. There's one of Joelle. It's a beautiful artist rendition of our podcast queen.
Mm-hmm. Respect.
You can put
queen.
It on anything. I realized that you can put it on a onesie last night. So I was putting it on a onesie. I don't even have a child to give it to. I just wanted to see what Joelle's face would look like on a onesie.
Silly.
Love it.
Water bottles coming soon.
Yeah, and the water bottles are coming soon. All right, guys. We love you. We appreciate you, and we hope you had a smile today. Donald, what are those numbers you love so much?
5, 6, 7, 8.
Stories about a show we